episode number 235 with Daniel Garcia. Welcome to the Heads Up Poker Podcast. This is Steve Barton, and thank you for tuning in. This week, we have my buddy, Daniel Garcia. Danny and I met probably 3 years ago, and we ended up just hitting it off right away. Real smart dude, entrepreneur, has his own business, one of the most successful window covering businesses in Ventura. Just a super smart, financial guy, hard worker. He and I get along very well. And, lately I've been getting a lot of questions about stocks, and I thought, well, this is probably the perfect opportunity to bring in my buddy, Danny, the guy that I talk stocks with every single day. So I brought him in. Have been on a little hiatus. I got to apologize about that. The fires have been breaking off in California, and I haven't gone out on any of the wildland fires. I've been covering for the guys that have, and on top of that, I had to move, so that was fun. So I packed up all my shit in boxes and then moved it to a different location, and now I'm in my new place. But anyhow, been super busy, and I want to thank everyone for reaching out and making sure I'm okay. Mikey's doing better. I talked to him the other day. So I think he'll be on the next show. And, I'm excited. Danny and I talk over, a lot of different stocks, and I'll tell you now, if you're listening to this in the car and you hear some stocks or something while we're talking about it, make a note of the stocks and then go back and take a look at the graphs, and you can just Google the ticker that we give you. So for example, like British Petroleum, the ticker is BP, Bravo Papa. Like Edison is EIX, Echo India X-ray. You type those into Google, look over the life of the graph, and basically what you're looking at is just the stock prices. And then you'll be able to follow along and keep up with what we're talking about. So no poker discussion this podcast. Danny doesn't play poker, but plenty of stock tips for all you who have been asking and interested. So without further ado, Daniel Garcia. I got supersonic speed that I used to run to you. I stretched my arms for miles and miles and wrapped them. Daniel Garcia, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Thanks for bribing me and having me on here.
Yeah, it didn't take a whole heck of a lot. A little HJ from the local down on the corner, and that was all it took. So,
well, and you forgot the free lap dance.
Yeah, well, that too. You're never going to get that glitter out of your shirt, by the way. It's just,
yeah, that's a rough one. That's like, you're not going to lie. That stuff is insidious.
Yes. So Daniel, you and I have known each other for probably 3 years now. We met through our mutual friend Joe.
That's right, sitting up drunk one night, I remember.
Yeah We stayed up until about 4 in the morning just talking stocks, and right. And that's when I was like,
with no chicks.
There was no girls there.
Yeah, let's just want to make a point on that.
We stayed up late drinking beer and smoking whiskey. Cigars and whiskey. That's right.
Yeah. Don't forget the whiskey. Yeah.
So you're a bit of an entrepreneur. You've got your own business,
right?
And you're your own boss, and you're.
I try not to work that much.
Yeah.
I'm really on the less is more program. Yes. I like to say, can I get somebody else to do this for me? You know?
Yes. Yeah. I thought it would be cool to bring you in because lately I've been getting a lot of questions on stocks, cause I talk about it on the show. And I thought, well, who better to bring in than the guy that I talk stocks with probably 20 to 30 minutes every day.
It's true. So it's like a relationship.
It is. Yeah. It's a little romance we got going on here.
I don't kiss on the first date. Yeah. So, well, hey, I'm locked and loaded, Steve. Everything's good. I got my new pour over coffee here. I've kind of graduated from the coffee machine and my French press. So,
oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So what's the pour over? Is that a French press or what is it?
Well, no. Well, the French press is actually good, but I found that the pour over method is, it's good. It kind of poured over 202 degrees exactly. And the coffee just, it can make bad coffee taste good.
Really?
So you can be drinking
Folgers and it just tastes like.
You know what? I even have Uban and I'm like, you know what? I don't even mind it. Don't get me wrong. You know, good coffee is good coffee, but yeah, it's just the way that it just kind of, I guess, just pours over, you bloom the coffee, and, you know, it's a time thing. So I like to do it on the weekends now, but it's working.
So what is a pour over? Is that the brand?
So, you know, when you go to like Starbucks and they're all like hanging out there and they're like, if they don't have your coffee, or they're like, hey, well, we can give you a pour over, but it takes like 15 minutes, you know, for the guy, you know, it's like okay. So if you're in a rush, like don't get a pour over, right?
Okay.
So yeah, they basically just take a glass, you know, kind of a, you know, like cylinder or whatever. And then they just kind of like bloom the coffee and they kind of pour it over, let it set for a little bit. And then just so it kind of absorbs the water, and then they wait a little bit. And then you're supposed to kind of do it in a circular motion, but whatever. And then just finish kind of pouring the coffee over into the glass. And then that just kind of just gets everything out of the coffee, you know, and it just makes a really nice cup of coffee. I find it better than a French press, actually. I've kind of been working on both methods, and I'm getting ready to throw away my French press. So if you need one, you can have it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
French press is good. Nothing against the French or the French press, but
you know, you know, influenced me quite a bit on new habits and stuff. I've been putting the collagen in my coffee.
And bad one.
You know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. MCT oil.
MCT oil. I put that in there with the cinnamon and the couple drops of vanilla, you know,
mix just it, Mexican it up a little bit.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's a fine art.
Yes. Awesome. I do that one. I don't know the pour over though. That you might not have.
It's honestly really, you're really going to upgrade your coffee experience. But again, you have to have kind of the time. But the nice thing about it though, it's actually easier to clean than a French press, because you know, I got the composting thing from you. So like,
nice.
I'm dumping out all that, like, you know, it's just kind of a pain in the butt, you know, with a French press. So, anyways, I'm all about the pour over now. So, you know,
the cure
I have, you know, for, you know, when I'm in a rush, and pour over is when I got time. So that's what it is. So.
Okay. All right. I'll have to see that one in action. I can't.
Oh yeah. It's you know, and it actually looks like a really nice like piece. You know, I put it up in like the cabinet and people are like, oh, what's that? You know, I'm like, well, let me introduce you to my pour over.
Yes. Let me show you.
Yeah. It comes in a really nice glass thing with this little cork kind of like handle thing. So, but yeah, it's a good experience. If you're serious about your coffee, you got to get serious about it, you know?
Okay. All right. All
right. So yeah, well, I don't want to spend too much time on your pour overs here. So yeah, please.
Right on. Yeah. So, your house up in Santa Barbara, that has been very impressive to me. You've taken it from, well, I don't want to call it a
tear down. Let's just
about
it. Torn down. Yeah.
You just started from scratch. You moved a kitchen.
Yes. Rerouted pipelines, gas, everything. Moved the kitchen to the other side of the house. Yes,
yeah.
No small feat there.
No, none at all. None at all.
Yeah. Don't ask me what I was thinking at the time though, please. 'Cause still, to this day, I'm still trying to figure that out, but the end result we're happy with.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But you're a very impressive guy, man. I mean, you just tackle things head on, and like whatever you touch, just, and you don't skimp on anything. I mean, you just have the best tile, and you have, you know, the best toilet and the best sink and the best shower.
That's a lot of,
I would have gone down to Home Depot and paid $38 bucks a door and been done with it, you know.
but the problem is you see the emotion. If there's, you have emotion into the house, so if it's a non-emotional thing, then hey, I'll go to Home Cheapo all day long. but you know, when you're tied to something emotionally, just you know that's just what it is. So you know, I got to live there, I got to see it every day, so I got to be happy with it. And if that's what makes me happy, that's what makes me happy. So that's what I'm willing to shell out for, I guess you could say. So, you know, but yeah, you're right. It's good things just take longer to get. And what is your better, faster, cheap kind of theory?
Good, fast, and cheap. Pick two. That's all you get. You can't have three.
Yes, and that's been very good advice. So thank you for that, because that holds very true, especially when remodeling or rebuilding, I should say, a house.
Oh God, that's probably some of the best piece of advice my
Oh
dad's
God,
ever
yeah,
given
that
me.
Goes hand yeah. yeah, that goes hand in hand. And don't be married while you're doing it. Every divorce lawyer just ready to go. Because I definitely see why people, like, I don't even know why you'd want to do that with somebody.
It's the worst part for me is doing the kitchen. I've remodeled the kitchen. Oh, and when you're washing dishes in your fucking bathtub,
yeah,
you're just like,
oh yeah,
life.
I've done that before. Oh yeah,
fuck,
I
had my life. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, my life is over, it's done. But I got a good piece of advice for a kitchen. Anybody who wants to ever redo a kitchen, and now this is a little but hey, I took advantage of it anyway. So you can go down to your local Home Cheapo or go down to like Lowe's.
Yes.
And you can literally just go into the kitchen area department and be like, hey, here's my specs on my kitchen. Just give them the sizes and where the windows are or whatever. And they'll actually render a whole kitchen for you. So, and it takes kind of a bit of time. And I'm not going to lie, I did feel a little bit bad about doing it, but not anymore. Mm-hmm. So I just got the rendering with all the specs and everything. And I just took it to my cabinet guy. I'm like, hey, this is what I want. He's like, easy, done. Cost me half the price. I think it was going to be like $27,000, you know, for my cabinets. I was like, what? Really? My kitchen's not that big. But anyways, yeah, I took it down and got it done for like way less than like probably a third of the price, you know? So it was,
so you sat behind the counter with the girl for 3 hours detailing out your kitchen, took those plans. Did the plans cost you anything?
No, absolutely nothing. They do it for free. Hey, they're hourly, right?
Oh, okay, good.
I mean, I felt kind of bad. I was like, hey, maybe I should bring them lunch, you know? Yeah. Well, I won't be coming in here for at least a few months.
Yeah. Man, where's just that guy that we just outlined his kitchen for him?
Yeah, for free. Yeah. I mean, I felt bad. I'm not going to lie. I did. I really wanted to, like, tip her $100 or something, but then I'd probably make things even weirder, right?
Yeah. You're all, look, I'm not going to use you guys, but here's a Subway sandwich. I'm hoping we're good.
Hey, thanks. You want extra meat on that?
Yeah. I got you the 6-inch because I figured you probably should not be eating the 12, but, you know.
Because you're sitting around here on this desk all day.
Yeah, you know, watching the carbs for you, honey, watching the carbs.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Oh, so anyway, hey, pro tip, but hey, it works, and, you know, it's a good way to get things done, and I needed something done. So there
you
go.
Right on. Well done.
Not
you hadn't told me that story. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I'm not suggesting people do this, but hey, like,
but I kind of am.
You want to save 10 grand at least. Like, it's not a bad idea, you know?
So, oh, that's great.
But anyhoot, what do we got up next?
Where
do we
let's see. Stocks. Yeah, let's you know, I just kind of wanted to go over some of the baseline stuff, cuz people will ask me about a stock, what do you think of this? And the first thing I do is I look and see, does it pay a dividend?
Yeah, well, we kind of took that from what we learned. So what we did is, what, remember you in the beginning, we actually, that's 4 o'clock in the morning, no girls hanging out, drinking whiskey.
Yes, we're doing that one.
So I was like, hey, you know, I know this guy, he can teach it, It was very expensive, but we're like, you know, we kind of vetted the whole process and it seemed like it was a good thing. And obviously we did that and glad we did do that. But we kind of took what we learned and we're like, you being kind of a stickler, you know, on money, and me myself, you know, kind of consider myself, for lack of a better word, a little Jewish about things.
Yeah.
So
hence the Lowe's story.
Hence the Lowe's story. Yeah. I didn't want to like Jew him out there, but yeah. So any hoots. So, you know, we took that information and we kind of re-engineered it a little bit, and we kind of added, you know, well, hey, how can we protect ourselves? Because I was actually, of all people, it was, you know, I was just watching that, you know, that guy from Shark Tank, with his name, Mr. Wonderful. He's kind of annoying, but.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, he's a very frugal guy and, like, you know, obviously he has a lot of money, but.
Billionaire, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. But he actually just gave some, I just remember, it was just a little nugget of advice. And he's like, and I just kind of took that. And he said, you know, I don't put my money in any stock that doesn't pay me back. And I was just like, that spoke to me. And so that's why I kind of took that advice. And I was like, wow, you know, that's actually, basically he doesn't put money in growth stocks is what he was trying to explain. You know, that's his deal. You know, everybody has their own, of course, but you know, we took that and we're like, hey, yeah. And then he was, you know, dividends. He's big on the dividends, I guess. So we just kind of took that and implemented it into what we were doing, because we didn't really, instead of doing all our, you know, stop losses and all that stuff, and figured we were in it for the long haul. And that just kind of worked for what you were doing, what I was doing, you know? So we just kind of added that in, you know, it's just kind of like an extra layer of insurance, I guess you could say, right? That's the way I like
that's the way I look at it, because yeah, like, you know, 40% of the time we're going to be wrong and the stock goes down, but every 3 months we're getting that 4 or 6% dividend, and it's like, I don't mind having my money locked up in something like that when you're getting paid.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt when it goes down. You know, you're not really, I just don't feel tied to it, you know, and I just, hey, I'm, you know, they all pay me. I got a whole big list of like a whole page that I can print out of just, you know, 10, 20, 30, all the way up to, you know, $100 and $200 worth of dividends, you know, that just keep coming through. And it's just kind of nice to always be able to pull that money. Obviously you need a certain amount of money to kind of have a certain amount of dividends coming through, you know, you kind of need a lot to get that through, but you know, it's nice, it's there. Hey, I'm not gonna lie, I call it my DCP TV I just bought, right?
Yes. Yes, off the dividends.
Yeah, I literally bought that. I was like, hey man, I'm gonna treat myself, you know, I'm gonna get me a TV. Yes. Not on Craig. yeah, that was actually good. So I got my DCP stock TV, you know, from actually what we made, and actually paid us we've made a couple hundred bucks on dividends on that as well. So that was a good little, still is a good stock. We're still in it, right?
Yeah, it is.
So as I was saying, yeah, we were just kind of taking, you know, what we learned, combining it with some traditional stuff. You threw in, you know, we started doing valuations on stocks, which was kind of cool, you know. So we're like, hey, is this a good company? You know, we implemented a few rules that worked for us, and you know, everything's been working so far for, you know, almost a couple years now, you know, pretty solidly, even with the big crash, which we kind of knew that was coming, you know, at some point. It's not if it was when. Yeah. And you know, we have some stuff that, you know, like the downside is, yeah, we have a few things that are stuck in there, but I'm like kind of happy. I don't even care, to be honest. I just look at them like it's a house, right? You know, it's some equity and it's going to come back, you know, but during that time period, it's still paying us, you know? So
yeah, yeah.
We're still getting,
and it's, you know, easy to find the, you just Google, does, you know, British Petroleum pay a dividend? And
right.
I just got a little thing saved on my computer on a bookmark, mm-hmm. and it's like the NASDAQ mm-hmm. site. And anyways, you can see the list of dividends and when they have paid out. And
yeah.
basically we look for dividends that pay out every 3 months, every quarter, or maybe twice a year.
But, yeah. Well, you know, unless they're the foreign ones, which are called the ADRs generally. And you know, but you know, those have been really good for us too. I think last time I checked, we're in about 40%, you know, of overseas stocks, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's actually worked out really well too. So like, don't be scared of emerging with, what do they call them? Emerging markets, you know, basically like stocks that are outside of the US that, you know, there's a lot of great companies that we found, and we made some money on Russian oil stocks, made some money on like banks in Buenos Aires and, you know, like
Scotland and
RBG, a bank in Brazil, you know? So it's like, you know, don't be, since we're not really in there for these huge long periods of time, you know, it's like not really kind of scared of them, so to speak, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's worked out just as well, I believe, just as well as any, like, you know, stock here. You know, I just don't really see too much of a difference, since we're not doing it for this huge long-term run, you know. Yeah. I would say, what are we usually in, like, you know, if we get lucky, you know, we might be in something for, you know, a month or two, you know, generally speaking, what, three, four months, maybe. A long haul would be maybe like six, seven months if we get stuck in something for that long before we're able to pull it out. So really not, the time period's not really that long, you know what I mean? So I'm pretty comfortable, you know, sticking things in, you know, different places around the world, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that looks profitable, you know, and
right,
just because they say that they're going to pay a dividend doesn't necessarily mean that they will. Well, yeah, we got out of one. The 30 stocks that we've gotten, I think only one has not followed through with their dividend.
And it was just this year. And I think it's Australian. Yeah, it was Australian Bank. I think it was Westpac.
Okay, Westpac. That's which one it was.
Yeah, out of Australian Bank. That they stopped their dividend for this year, but they were going to pick it back up next year. But like, who cares? Like, whatever. Yeah. It's not like, you know, whatever. We got like 30. I got like 39 other ones. I'm like, whatever, who cares? Yeah. So they don't pay me for a little while and it's down. But, you know, one out of so many, it's like, you know, it's a rate of attrition, right?
Yeah.
Don't find too much of a problem with that considering the numbers, right?
Yeah. Another interesting thing we've learned too is if the dividend, if it seems to get like in the double digits, if it's paying like 11% or something, that's something that you should be a little wary of. What I mean? Because Absolutely. It means that they're having trouble, buying their stock and they want to entice them into it. And so they throw out this outrageous dividend. I mean, some of the ones we've seen were like 17 or 20%.
We've gotten paid on some of those as well, though, but we weren't in them for long periods of time. We got in what's called, because you have to get in by what's called the ex-dividend date.
Yeah.
And so if you can get in before that date, then obviously you're going to get paid on that time around and what you got in for. So, that's actually, you know, you're right. You got to be careful. I mean, there's kind of a, you know, there's not an exact number, you know. I mean, I personally like the, you know, 3-7%, you know what I mean? That's a pretty like, generally speaking, a good marker.
Yeah,
you know,
I was gonna say 4-6, but same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You have 2 cents of a difference halfway, right? Yeah. Once it starts creeping past that like 8%, you got to start questioning it, right? Like over 10, it's like, okay, well, what's going on here, you know? And it's generally the company needs money for some reason or another, but you know, don't be scared of them. I mean, if you just dig a little deeper on certain things, right? It's like, so we found some really, I think, LYG, that was LYG ticker, what, Lloyd's?
Lloyd's Banking, yeah.
Lloyd's Banking, that was at English Bank, I mean, English Scotland, I don't know. That was like, well, I think that was like a 12-13%. And then, you know, we've actually been in that a couple of times and got dividends out of that and, you know, checked out of it. I think we're still in RBG. Or is it RBG? I think we're still in one of those. RBS. Yeah. We've been into that like two or three times in each one of those stocks and done pretty decent on, you know, all the way around. So, I always say, you know, you got to question it, right? After a certain percentage, you're like, hey, well, what's going on here? You know? So yeah, I think it's err on the side of caution, I guess, you know, and, you know, do your vetting and do, you know, your, you know, stick to your principles. And, but like I said, we're not scared of them, but definitely we vet them more, you know, unless it looks like a really good setup, right? If it looks like a fantastic setup, then, I mean, we've gone in on a lot of stuff that've paid high dividends, you know, so we're not necessarily, I would say, in it specifically for the dividend because we see a really good setup, you know, and we're like, hey, this is a good setup. Let's try to get in and get out of this thing, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's gambling, you know, but
calculated. Like
it's calculated gambling, you know.
Yeah, calculated gambling, I guess, you know. I think with really haven't lost, you know. So, you know, I word gambling is so strong, you know, it's on it. But I think if you're educated, you know, well, I know now, you know, I just wish, you know, I started doing this a lot. I just didn't want to have to like stare at stuff all the time. But that was my kind of reasoning for not really getting into the stock market. I'm like, I don't want to have something that I got to stare at all the time or whatever. But, you know, I think after the realization, you know, some years back, like, hey, you know, you got to do what you do for 8 hours or whatever your time is during the day. Do your stocks, do your real estate, and that's how you climb up. I mean, there's no magic, you know what I mean? There's no like magic farm or like, you know, selling escargot or something, or like, you know, there's no like, you know, people trying to sell you, you know, potions and, you know, it's like, do what you're doing for whatever time it is during the day. Do your stocks, do your real estate. The stocks and the real estate offset each other, you know, in good times and bad. And that's really it. I really haven't found any other magic formulas. So,
I've had like three people in the last week tell me that they came in with some money, and they were like, what should I put it in? Right now it's just sitting in my bank account. And I told all of them, I'm like, I would open up an account with Vanguard, and for I would starters, just park it in their federal money market fund. And that'll get you 2%. So at least
it's like 1.9. It fluctuates 1.9 to 2.1 or whatever it is, right? So So yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, at the very least, it's like if you go down to your local bank, right? They're trying to like, you know, get the guy in there, and he's always trying to be, hey, well, I can really I can get you like, you know, this 2-3% on a CD. I'm like, dude, I just stick my money in like Ameritrade or Vanguard, and the money just sits there, and I get 2%. So what would
yeah, and I have
money?
Access to it. I don't have to like
it's not tied up for a year, you know, so I can get your like CD at 2.3%. I'm like, oh wow I'm so excited. Hang
on. I just creamed my pants. Hold
on. Yeah. Hold on, I gotta change my underwear. Yeah, I mean, I just don't see how people get excited about it. I mean, look, I get it, it's safe and everything. If you just got so much money, you just got to like park it places, you know, like, you know, but you know, you're doing things on a large scale and probably part of the Panama Papers at that point, right?
So. They're saying like 25, 50K, you know, and I'm like, yeah, just put it in there if you're not going to touch it for
like,
the next.
Yeah, if you just, yeah, you don't know what you're
going
to do. The
only downside is that it takes 3 to 5 business days to get your money back into your bank account. But as long as you don't have some fucking emergency where you need 50 grand a day.
Yeah, but then, it's still pretty liquid. I mean, that's pretty liquid. Yeah, you know, mean, it's not like sticking it in your house and, you know, you're trying to pull out equity, dude, and you're going through a refi, right?
Yeah, right?
It only take you 60 days to get, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I kind of like parking some cash in there, you know, I kind of feel like good about it, you know, and I think the longer it sits there, the more comfortable you kind of feel with it. Obviously it's not FDIC insured. So, you know, that would be the kind of downfall probably on it, but you know, it's like, well, you know, I'll take my chances. know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not
I don't think Vanguard's going anywhere.
You know, we're still the number one economy in the world, you know, China's climbing on us. But, you know, hey, you know, the dollar doesn't matter where you go, dude. You can be in, you know, the most eastern end of the world and they'll still take a dollar. So I'm pretty comfortable with that. Which is very true. It doesn't matter where you travel in the world. Try exchanging some rubles. They ain't going to happen. I've been in this situation before. I'm like, I got some American dollars. Hell yeah, we'll take those.
You will take that. Some of the countries I've been to, that's their currency. They use
USD. Well, hey, Venezuela, they use American dollars. You know, the weird thing over there is that it's so, I mean, because they're so deep, their money's so devalued, you have like a truckload of money just to get a hot dog. but they use like Bank of America. Like they all have like Bank of American like cards that they use. It's so weird. So there's something definitely weird going on with that. But yeah, they use American dollars in Venezuela for some odd reason. But I don't know what that is, but hey, that's a whole nother show for you.
I found that in, I think it was El Salvador. I think, yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it
well,
was
they take El dollars. Salvador. You go anywhere in the world, they take dollars. I was in Cambodia, man. I was like, you know, given dollars to shoot RPGs. So there you go.
Oh, you did that too?
Oh, yeah, I did the RPGs, dude. I just didn't know. I was doing it, did it in my flip flops, though. I'm like, yeah, probably not the smartest thing in the world, but hey.
I didn't do the RPG. Joe and I did.
We
did hand grenades. That's what.
Oh, you did the hand grenade.
We did the hand grenade.
It was a little lackluster on that because
it wasn't quite as big of an explosion as I thought it would be.
Well, they had us throw. Yeah, they had us throw their hand grenades in the water, and I was like, the boof, and I was like, it was like. Looked like some, I don't know, it was just a big fish that took a, you know, just letting out some oxygen or something, you know? Like, it was like, lackluster experience with the grenades, I have to admit. But, you know, hey, but the RPG was, they're like, hey, if you want to blow up a cow? I'm like, yeah, that probably wouldn't have many friends left on Facebook, but I think I'll just pass on that one. They're like, you don't want the cow for $200? I'm like, nah, well, if I could eat it, maybe, but I'm going to blow it up.
The ribs will already be cooked by the time you walk over to it, right?
Like charcoal ash ribs. So I kind of passed on the cow. So I just decided to like blow up the side of a hill. So that was just me. That was a pretty backfire on that whole thing. I mean, shooting RPGs is, that's pretty fun stuff, man. I'm not going to lie. Then the M60s blowing stuff.
Oh, you got to shoot an M60.
Oh, yeah, with big, giant, nasty bullets, dude. Probably as big as a skull, man. Just blowing stuff up all over the place, man. Like, it was like, I feel like Rambo, dude. It was more like Tropic Thunder out there. So. Yeah. Oh, so, great. Yeah, Cambodia, RPGs, go for it. Good times, man.
Yes, yes. I did those grenades. I don't think I shot a weapon. No, I
oh,
didn't.
Oh man, just you gotta shoot, you gotta do the M60s, man. You gotta get those big old, like, they're on the tripod and you're like two hands, poof, poof, you know, it's like I'm like, I knew I should have joined the military. I'm good at this.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, yes, dividends. Yes.
yeah, that's right. Yeah. So dividends is one of the things we look for. What are some other things? And definitely the, when you look at a stock, look at it over the life of it. You know, if it's something like Microsoft or whatever that's been around for
has
a long
some
time.
History. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at it from, yeah. We try to avoid ones that have only been around a couple of years, you know,
right,
because you really
right.
don't have.
There's no history to it, and you know, and I don't know what weight that holds, you know, we definitely you know stay away from kind of like a lot of the growth stock stuff unless it's hey, you know, it's Google or Facebook or something that you think you know you want to put some money in some AI stuff, great for the long term, but that's not really stuff that we plan on making money on, right? So we just kind of stick to the kind of dividend stuff, you know, the steady eddies, as we like to say, right?
Yeah. 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 One that, that we did recently was, Coca-Cola, the,
oh yeah, we just sold that.
So if you're,
I'm at the, actually, yeah, my TC 2000, which is the software that we use.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the same one. I'm looking at Coca-Cola. The ticker symbol is KO. So, listener can look up, KO. And
don't be confused with the one that's $232 a share, though. So if you look up Coke, I just noticed that there's like an international Coke or something that's like a couple hundred bucks. So the KO we're looking at is 49. It's like trading at 49.33 right now.
Okay. Yeah. And so it basically, like, if you can picture Charlie Brown's shirt, you know how it kind of has that line that goes up and down and up and down.
Yeah.
What's that called? Charlie Brown.
I don't know.
Squiggly line, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically what we're looking for is when the price goes up and then comes back down to a point that it's already been before.
Right.
You know, yeah, exactly. Right. So it's, you know, maybe 3 months before it was also at this price and 3 months before it started going up after it reached that. It's kind of like, you know, there's
resistance line.
Yeah, there's all these people that are looking at exactly the same graphs that we are and that you are, and when they see it get down to, you know, maybe $45,
right?
And it's also gotten down to $45 when you look over the life of of the stock several times. It makes it likely that it's going to go back up after that. But what we usually try to do is once, let's say that the point that we're looking at is $45, you know, it gets down to $45, goes up to like 50 and then comes back down again at $45 3 months later.
It's kind of hitting a bounce basically.
Yeah. It's right? kind of hitting like a little bounce. And what we like to do is once it's hit that lower level at $45, we like to wait for it to go up a little bit again, you know, to, you know, if we can wait for it to go up about 10% of the distance that it had fallen, then it gives us a little bit more of an indication like, okay, it's probably, you know, found the bottom and it's on its way back up. And that's usually when
itself
we,
is, it's reversing itself and it's setting up to make basically what we call a run and what we call a setup.
Yes. Yes. A setup. And so we have in our list here, 60 stocks or something that we're just kind of always watching.
Yeah.
And when we see these setups, we already know that they all pay dividends, you know, because we've taken, you know, 2 or 3 years to compile this list.
Yeah.
And we kind of know about like, oh, okay, China Mobile's down around $35 and the thing just bounces between $35 and $50 year after year after year. Once it gets down there and we see the little setup, we fire, we know it pays a dividend and we're just, we have these little, at least you do the same thing. I'm sure you just set an alert on your phone.
Right.
The app is even free. And once it gets up to your target, whether it's $42 or 58 or whatever it is, then, you know, a little alert goes off and you go, huh, all right, it's time to sell that one.
Or, you know? or like we did before, but this is really hasn't worked out that well as of just because, you know, there hasn't been making too big of runs on things, but we were setting things. We're probably setting the expectations a little high.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were setting it to automatically sell, which is something you can do also. So,
yeah.
Because we missed out previously, I think it was BBGI.
Yeah,
we missed that. And we put a automatic sell on that. We would have like doubled our money, you know, and it's just like, we actually, you missed that. And I missed that. I would think maybe a week went by and we're like, oh, duh, we should have sold that. It just shot up to like, was like, we bought it at like 250 and it like shot up to like $6 or something, you know? So
yeah, it was, and we went through that and we're just like, oh God. But it was the kind of thing where it shot
one
up
day.
In a period of a couple of hours. So unless
we're
just intensely watching our phone,
we
never would have known, you know, but putting that auto sell in there, sometimes these stocks just get on a runway freight train and they go up several dollars in 15 minutes and then they shoot right back down. And I don't know what causes that, but if you have an auto sell in there, you can capture that.
TK Tankers, man, we remember that we sold that and then it shot up from like 13 to like $22 and we're like, oh, we missed that boat.
Yeah.
Literally, right? Yes. It was a tanker company, you know, ocean tanker. TK. Yeah, I think.
Yes.
Definitely. And it's still around. I still watch it going, ah, damn it. It's still around 20 something damn dollars. I was a contender. It's like I've turned into a stock fish story. absolutely. To make it so it sells automatically. It really hasn't worked out amazing for us, but at least we know, like, hey, it's an option, right? And it's there. And, you know, if you just kind of less thinking and you just kind of want to set things, you know, but, you know, don't be too much or like, hey, a $25 stock, well, it sells at $50, then sell it, you know, be realistic about it, you know?
Yeah. 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 Another thing we do too is we seem to try to, get stocks that are price range between like $1 and what, $50 or something.
Yeah. I mean, what do they consider penny stocks, or what do they consider a penny stock is under $10 is really what's considered a penny stock. Right. So anything kind of, but yeah, I mean, I like personally, like me, I like those. I know because it's like, you know, the amount of money that you put in on it, you can have a, like, you know, very short amount of time. If it goes up like, you know, 50 cents, you're like, oh wow. Hey, we could pull out of this thing at this point, as opposed to a 200, you know, a Tesla stock, which is, you know, hey, that's a good story right in itself. That's a growth stock that we were waiting for. What did it just split, I believe. But that stock, you know, we were like, it's a growth stock. We were just kind of stuck in it for like 6 months, right? Didn't pay a dividend or anything, you know. That was
frustrating. Yeah, because we bought it at 245, I think, or 230, something like that. And then it immediately went down to 180 and we're just stuck. And that's when we realized, we're like, we ain't getting paid shit on this thing. That might have been one of the ones where we're like, this is dumb. We should be investing in ones that have dividends. And I didn't know you got it from Mr. Wonderful. That's kind of cool. But when you said that, I'm like, dude, that
I think
just,
I was probably a
free insurance
one night.
You know,
it's free insurance. Yeah, exactly. That's why I like, there's a lot of people who kind of like, I mean, there's a lot of people who are against the dividend thing and they're like, oh, well, you know, and they're for a lot of different reasons. And that's probably a whole nother show, but you know, and just personal experience, you know, was starting with literally like $500, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's worked out really, I mean, over the last years, it's just worked out really nice, you know, I just feel like comfortable, like I'm good. Like, I don't really care, you know, if the stock goes down, like, yeah, whatever. I don't really care. I'm like, yo, what I care about is getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I care about. And I getting paid, you know what I mean? And I like that, you know. I think when I was, you know, very green, you know, I don't consider, you know, I'm a professional by any means, but I'm pretty comfortable in the fact that I can make some money out of this, you know. We got stuck, and I went back and I looked at a Vodafone, and I bought that after what we learned. I went back, and as you did too, on some of the stuff that you bought that were bad as well. It was not a bad stock. I just bought it at a bad time. And what was the most important thing was to learn, you know, at least from my experience, and I believe yours as well, was, yo, when do I buy this? When do I sell it? I think those are probably the two most important things when you're kind of talking about stocks, as far as like, hey, when should I buy this thing? And when should I sell this thing? Right. Yep. So I think once you can learn those two things, and it's not 100%, but you know, if your batting average, as long as you can get your batting average up there, you know, then that's a success, you know, at least to me. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. It's a lot of fun. Just like
we
put our money in there for 3 weeks or whatever. We made our 10%, and then we're out.
Yeah, and that was a short run. That was short. You know,
we even got like a little $8 dividend or something.
I think I got like $8.95. But hey, man, I'm like, hey, that's a pour over coffee, right?
Exactly.
I think they're like $4 at Starbucks, you know, and you gotta wait, but you know, for that. Yeah. So, Subway sandwich. Long on special. So, hey, I'm like, yo, it's free. It's me. So yeah, no, the dividends are good. So, I mean, I like them, and, you know, I'm like surpassing what, you know, doubling my dividends that I had last year, and expect to do that again over the next coming year. And yeah, it's just nice, man. It's just really nice. Like I said, bought my DCP TV.
Yeah. It last year I did, I think, I'm going off the top of my head now. I haven't done the math. I did 12K worth of bets, and I think I made 14 or 1800. So it came out to 14%. It was almost 15%.
I would say on the average, I mean, we're talking we're well over 10. Well, the thing is, you're using that money over a course of a period. So if you have like, you know, $5,000 and you make, let's say you got a crappy bet and crappy setup in there and got a couple good ones, but over the course of the year, you know, you can use that $5,000. What we try to use it four times. That seems to be the kind of max. So, you know, on $5,000, let's say, you know, making just say 10, you know, let's say you average 10%, which is pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
But you're using that over the course of, you know, four times in 1 year, right? So in reality, it's
500 bucks, 500 bucks, 500 bucks, 500 bucks.
Four times. Yeah. I mean, that would be in a perfect situation, but you know, even let's say it was 400, you know, that's 60. So you'd be hope to make it maybe like around $1,600 off that $5,000 that you had in there, right? So over the course of the year. But sometimes, you know, you with that same money, we go in there and maybe we have a couple that are stuck, you know, and they just take 6 months. So maybe we can only use that money, you know, that same money twice a year. But on the average, 2 to 4 times in a year with that same money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how it's been kind of working out. You know, four is a good one. Two at the very minimal, you'll be able to use it at least twice, right? So that brings up your batting average pretty high.
Yeah. I've got about 30K worth of bets this year. So I think by the end of the year, I'll have tripled what I did last year. But that's the thing, you know, you just keep building the bankroll.
Yeah.
And you know, then you may start off making $200 or $300 bets, and then you graduate to 500, then you go up to 1,000, and then 2,000. And our goal, like you said, is do five. We want 100K, doing 5K bets each time. That way, 10% gets you $500. $500 is something that is nice, you know. Whereas if you're only doing a grand, 10%, you know, it's $100. It's better than nothing. But
it's kind of a kick in the butt. But yeah, you kind of, you know, that's like that old adage, right? You need money to make money, but you kind of do when you're talking stocks. Let's just be honest about things. You really need at least, you know, I mean, obviously you can start playing and you see people I made, you know, $1 million with $5,000. Look out to what I have here. You like what you see, you know? But you really do, but you need to build it, and you'll build it fast. Like, you know, if you just like I just, you know, personally play games, you know, and just try to sock it away, you know, and then pretty soon you got a pretty good roll coming. And then, you know, that 100 goes to 200, the 200 goes to 300, and they just start building up when you're cashing out your stuff. And, but it's a long haul thing, and you got to be in it. You got to make a, you have to make a commitment and just make it an integral part. Like I didn't want to do it to be up front, you know, there was a good part of my life that I was like, oh God, I don't want to be bothered staring at stuff all day, you know, but you know, I just think it's an important piece of the puzzle if you're trying to like build your worth, you know? So, yeah. You know, you kind of, it's just one of the, and if you don't want to deal with anything, then hey, just throw it in ETF and just be quiet and just whatever, you know, but I think you can just gain a lot more if you're just active about it. And I think we've been very active about it, and it's paid off, you know. Yeah. You don't, we're spending less amount of time because you know what to do. But obviously for the first, you know, year, you kind of got to be in it, and you got to get to know the companies. They all have their own kind of personalities in a way, and you kind of get to know them. You kind of get to know, oh yeah, Coca-Cola, it's around 40, 50 bucks. You know, this is around 20, this, you know what I mean? So you got to get comfortable. And I think once you get to that point, which is, you know, something where I think you and myself are pretty starting to get pretty comfortable with stuff. There's still obviously a lot of learning, and but yeah, it's fun. And you know, I'm not a total I don't sit around and love like financials all day, but you know, it's nice to be able to pull money out whenever you want, right?
Yeah I had a friend that called me, and I probably should have told him to spread out his variance a little bit more. I guess I just thought it was natural, but anyways, he had about I think it was $21,000 that he wanted to invest. And anyways, within a day or so, I told him about three that I was buying. You know, one was PennyMac, another one was Delta, and
PennyMac was good.
Oh, PennyMac was amazing, right?
Yeah.
I told him those three, yeah. And then when I texted him a couple days later, I'm like, "Hey, I'm going to pick this one up too." He's all, "I'm out of money," and I'm like, "Wait, what?" He's like, "Yeah, what? I put $7,000 on each one of those that you told me." I'm like, "Holy shit!"
word of advice to everybody, you know, your listeners and everything. If anybody asks you, you know, like what stock or whatever, just disclaimer. Like, hey, I got people that ask me, and I'm like, "Hey, look, this is what I'm buying. Whatever happens, this is on you. I don't want anything to do with this." Like, yes. You know what I mean? Is what I'm doing, and more than happy to share this information with you. But disclaimer, you know, anything happens, hey, you know, that's on them, you know.
You know, whatever your role is, let's say it's 10 grand, I would spread that out over 20 different bets. You know what I mean? Do 5% on each bet, you know, so do a $500 bet on each one
different
of those.
Get,
you know, 20.
So anyways, what happened, Steve?
Well, he made a killing on PennyMac.
Yeah.
But he still hasn't sold it, which I'm a little confused.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
He didn't sell PennyMac. It says it like it dropped from about 20 bucks to about 17.87, I think is what.
Yeah, we got out of it at 19.50 or something or whatever. We 3x our money. You know,
I made a quick $1,000 and took off.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, see ya, Penny. Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, that's my mortgage company. Like, got you.
Yeah. Got you, bitch.
Got you, bitch.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still in Delta or not.
Airlines. Oh yeah, those things aren't popping. I mean, they come up and down, but the airlines. I mean, airlines, banks. Those things are, and that's just my own belief, you know, they're just not, it's just going to take a little time for them to start making moves. I just believe it's a little bit more of a long-term kind of deal with those things. You know, when I say long-term, I mean at least a year, you know what I mean? Until maybe they start coming back, kind of like Bank of America in 2009, I think it was like, my story was, that's when I knew I should have started doing stocks, because I remember looking at Bank of America, and it was like at $4 and like 20 cents, and I was like, I know that's a good thing, but I don't know why, but I just didn't know, you know, and it shot up to like, I don't know, like $50. I'm like, God, I could have. That was another fish story, right? And that's I think when I saw that, I think that was the trigger of like, yeah, I think I need to get in on this and figure this whole thing out, you know? And I think that's the kind of case right now, you know, with a lot of these kind of bank stuff. I think it took all 2008 to make 2009, right? So I think a lot of those are, they just, I mean, that's personal, you know, everybody has their own thoughts, but I just kind of try to avoid the bank stuff and any airlines, even though we're in some of those right now, but they're just kind of like long haulers and, you know, collect some dividends along the way, right?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he gets his money out. Not for a while, but he's pretty stupid probably for not selling the PennyMac thing, because I just don't, because it's the average on the PennyMac is like, what, like $25 or something, you know? So, you know, you're going to wait for that extra $5 you already made a bunch of money on it. Might as well leave.
Yeah. I mean, like when I was looking at it and when we got out just before it started going back down.
Yeah. By the way, I want to make a note. I called that out.
You did call that out. Yes, you did.
You wanted to stay.
You had to talk me into selling it.
I had to talk you into it. And a free lap dance.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to take a little bit of credit. No, don't get me wrong. Hey. You talked me into stuff too. So hey, you got me on Abercrombie and Fitch, and I finally went in on that, and I just sold it actually. So there you go. And that was because of you. It was on my watch list because of you.
Good.
So did you sell it?
No, I still got it.
Oh my god!
I'm
Are you serious?
Hoping it goes up.
Again,
my target price is like $14. It's at 12:30 right now. Like, maybe this is a mistake, but
you're like hanging on for a bite of cheese at this point. Jesus,
okay. I bought it at $8 and now it's at 12:30. So, you got it in real quick in and out. You got it at like 10:80, I think, and got out at like 12:80 or something. So, you made that in like 3 days or whatever it was. It was pretty quick.
Yeah. I took my money and run.
I don't know. We'll see. When I look over the life of it, you might.
No, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of room there, and, you know, it's not like a bad deal, and it pays. So, you know, has a nice dividend to it. And, you know, it's, they've been around forever. And, but, you know, hey, in and out. But, you know, you're long hauling on that one a little. But no harm, no foul either way.
Yeah. That one I'm long hauling, and the airlines I'm long hauling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like Delta, its average price was around $55-$60 before COVID, and it's at 31 now. So I'm long hauling that one.
Copa.
Oh, that was a good one, wasn't it?
Man. Yeah. We got into that one too. Yeah, that was good. Six Flags Magic Mountain's looking pretty good right now.
Oh my God. You called that one so well.
Yeah,
we got in there at like $13. Now it's around 23, but the average price before COVID was 50.
Yeah,
you know, at
it's still. Yeah. I think it's still a good time to get into quite a few of these. Obviously, just need to know, you know, when to buy them exactly, and not like high, not buying them too high, you know, in the what we call the stochastics. So but yeah, there's been EIX. I think we're following that, which is Edison as well. That's their international one. So just picked that up about last week. So we're waiting for that one. That one's starting to look really good, though. It's setting itself up pretty well. So it's looking good.
Yeah. I like that one. We missed Budweiser. That one would have been perfect.
We definitely missed,
like,
but I remember I found that one, and I don't even know why we didn't go in on that.
I don't know either. You found it at like 53 or 55, and now it's up almost at 60. I'm like, that's the perfect 10% right there. How did we miss
that? Also, Wynn Hotels. I don't know if I found that, and then we missed it. So maybe I just didn't say anything. It kind of reversed itself, and I was like, oh man, we missed that. We missed that, and it just went up. It went up like $7-$8, but we could have been in it. But it was a little bit more of an expensive, not expensive stock, but you know, it was over $50. So I think it was like $60-$70 stocks, and that's difficult as well sometimes, because it's like sometimes you see something really good, like Duke Energy. I think it just went back down to like, that was another one we missed out on as well. So we definitely miss things, you know, still do. Can't get everything, but that went up from like 79 to like 87, you know, and it just came back down to like around 79-80. So I think it might be a good time setting itself up again, possibly. So that's something we're looking at right now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned Duke. I was looking that up before we got on
Steady
the call.
Steady Eddie stock, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of, man, I wish we would have
yeah,
had incredible foresight and got it down at 63 when COVID.
Yeah, but
whatever.
Yeah,
they're absolutely. All like that. We got a bunch of those bets in that right after COVID. Those are going to be very profitable, I think.
Yeah,
to 12 months from now, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But yeah, I'm looking at Duke right now. It's looked like we're setting up that Charlie Brown pattern.
Yeah.
Quite nicely. The last time.
Yeah, Duke Energy is starting to set itself up really nice. Just needs to do a couple of things, I believe. And then it might be, like I said, it's an expensive stock. So it's like, in order to make anything off it, like, you got to put some money into it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't go and put, like, you know, even like $1,000 ain't really going to get you anything. Right. So it's like, I mean, you got to put a little bit of roll into it. So, but you have your rules, you know, what is your rule? 5%. What's your bankroll? Don't look.
That's just a general advice. Yeah. Don't do what my buddy did and put 33% of
don't
your roll
Steve's
on
friend.
One bet.
Yeah. Don't put all your money in the basket. You know,
out of 20 bets, you're going to have two or three home runs. Yeah. Most of them are just going to go sideways and you'll get paid a dividend. And then there'll be a few that go down and you're stuck in for a year or whatever. But
yeah, I mean, and it's,
I mean, if you get unlucky with those three bets, there goes your whole roll and you can't do anything for a year.
That's just,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just,
he got really very fortunate. And then one of them was a home run and the other two were profitable, but that's certainly not going to go like that every time, you know?
Yeah. So yeah. He got,
like when Joe came to us and he's like, okay, tell me what to do. I got $5,000. I'm like,
right, our friend Joe. Yeah. I love Joe.
I was like, every bet is $250. Just keep it at that. And he's like, all right. And he followed the program, but.
Yeah. No, but he didn't sell his stuff.
Yeah. That's the thing is I'm like, oh, bro,
you just made money. Sell your stuff, Joe.
Sell your stuff. Nah. He's like, I'm going to keep it.
And yeah. I'm just going to keep it. You know,
lost his ass. I'm like, oh, you have to watch this. You know?
Yeah. Like, you know, you can lead the horse to the water, but you know, if they drink, it's on them. So word of advice. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, you know, with this whole thing, like I'm very like, you know, kind of candid, you know, with people and very like, you know, just, you know, I don't care. You know, I just tell people my experience. So I'm like, yeah, I can make some money. Like, you know, I think I made like, you know, like almost a couple thousand bucks last month, you know, with everything. And I was like, hey, that's cool, man. That's a part-time job, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny because, you know, you can give people advice and all this stuff. And I feel like they feel like they have to pay for it and for it to mean anything.
There's something to that.
I think there is a component there. When you tell people what, like, hey, I'm going to give you a free lap dance. Nah, I'd rather pay for the lap dance. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Why is it free? Do you stink? Yeah, you know, there's some component to that. I don't know, it's psychological or something that we feel like we need to like pay for it in order for it to have value, right? So it's like I only have one friend who listens to me. Everybody else, I'm like, hey, well, I'm gonna do this, and yeah, no problem, bro, man, you know. And like, they're like, yeah, I don't think so, man. And I'd rather, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, you know. It's like, they don't, right, you know, yeah, they just, you know, if it's free, it's not me, you know. I guess, you know, when it comes to the stock
thing.
There is
something. I was listening to an audiobook the other day, and the guy was talking about this other guy that wanted to bring education to his town. And he set up this school and everything, and he got enough donors that it could be for free. But instead, he charged everyone, it was like $3 or $4. And he said he found that when he was giving it out for free, no one would sign up. But when he made him pay a few dollars, all of a sudden the classrooms were full. And he was like, there's something psychological about having to pay for it that now they feel invested.
Because it means something now because you paid for it. So you have expectation. You have like, there's this human nature, I guess. I don't know. Two pigs for a goat kind of thing. I don't know. But there's definitely a component to it because like, I don't even talk to people anymore about stocks or anything. Cause like, I'm like, hey, well, you know, I'm doing this thing and hey, it's kind of working, making some money. And I'll be more than happy to help you out. But nobody ever really wants to help. So I don't really care at this point. I only got one guy, you know, with Phil, our guy Phil. So and he's the only guy that listens to me. And I'm like, hey man, he listens, that's cool. And he makes some little cash and he's happy. And he's like, hey, what do you got going on this week? Well, I just tell him what we're buying. I don't really care, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to hide the information or anything.
I think he got in on Wells Fargo with us.
He did, which is, again, which is a long haul, right? You know, so, but, you know. No,
but we used to trade that. We'd buy it at 45 and then sell it at 50. And it was just like clockwork.
Yeah,
and then
a few
after
times.
COVID hit, now it's bouncing around 25.
It's not looking good.
But, But still, I mean, like, you know, if the average price pre-COVID was, you know, $45-$50, and now it's like 25 or whatever. The last time it was down this low was in 2011, so almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, everything's a low stow on it. I have two bets.
No, it's a buy zone. It's actually, you know, I was actually just looking at it, and it's definitely a buy zone, but I'm just going to not sit here and going to tell you you're going to make, you know, like, you know, $1,000 on it in a day or two, because that's just probably not going to happen.
No,
but exactly. You know, but I think it's still a good buy. I mean, I like it, you know what I mean? I if you want something in it for like kind of the long haul, hey, it's Wells Fargo, and they're in trouble right now. Obviously they got all those, like, opening up all those accounts with like illegal, like, you know, Mexicans in Northern California, or they got in trouble, and you know, and
oh, I didn't hear about this.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, it's a really good story. Oh yeah, so they got class action suits. They're opening up all these accounts, and they're, you know, and they have like, I don't know exactly how it went. I watched the whole thing on it, but anyways, they're a little bit, but you know, it's the bank. They always make money. That's why they're the tallest buildings in the cities, right?
Yeah.
So they're not in the business to lose. So yeah. They're like, oh no, like, okay, we got to pay this out. I think they just, it's part of their accounting process almost at this point, right?
Yeah.
like it's built in fraud basically, right? A lot of companies, they gotta account for their fraud pretty much. So, you know, it's kind of a, you know, capitalism at its finest, right? but yeah, so they're, but anyways, it's just a, I think it's still a good buy. I really like it. I have some of it personally. I believe you do too. And but you know, I don't really expect anything out of it for probably, yeah, I don't know, maybe next year, but
yeah,
you know,
probably at least 6 months to a
yeah
year.
Like giving me my 5%, leave me alone, or whatever it is, you know, we have in there for the dividend. So that's just the way I look at it. But hey, again, it still pays. Thank you. It's wonderful.
Exactly.
So yeah, that was a good one. One that we sold recently, what, we sold something, and I was kind of wish that we kind of just, we actually, you know what, we started doing something, we started taking the cream off the top, so this is kind of a newer thing.
Yeah. You saw this on the internet or something, right? Or...
yeah, I was reading about that. It's kind of a new way of kind of, like, I don't know if so new, but it's probably just you know, regurgitated, but yeah, so, you know, kind of getting your winnings, and you know, if it's a good stock, let's say, you know, Wells Fargo was doing, you know, like it was doing a year ago, you know, we could kind of go in and out of it, you know, 2-3 times in a year. You know, we now, what we're starting to do is just, you know, take the cream, like, you know, like 80% maybe of your winnings, you know, and then taking that, and then obviously staying in the stock, you know, if it's a good stock, hey, why not, you know. And then, you know, taking your winnings and, you know, building up that stockpile. So that's actually been pretty good. And I feel pretty good about staying in the stock if I like the stock, because I think there was one that we just sold, and we sold the whole thing, or at least I did, and kind of hindsight 2020, I'm like, yeah, well, I kind of wish I still had that stock, you know?
Yeah,
so yeah, I'm like, I doubled my money on it, and I'm like, I should have just left it, right? You know, so, but again, it's a learning experience. And, but I like kind of, you know, I did that with, I'll come back to my what I call my DCP TV. So basically I took like $1,200 of my winnings, and I bought my TV. So, but I left the original amount plus 20% on the stock, you know. Well, actually, yeah. I did more than maybe like 30 or 40% of what, but yeah, but I still got a really good share in the DCP, and it's still paying me. So there you go. So that was kind of a nice little home run on that. So DCP has been really good to us.
Oh my God. That one's been amazing. You know,
yeah,
that was one of our home runs.
Yeah,
right after COVID, we snagged it up at like less than $5.
Yeah, like 482.
And I took some cream off the top at $15. You know, so it's just like 3x instantly. What's that?
You took $15 off the top? What do you mean?
No. I sold some of my winnings.
I thought you said I only took $15. I'm like, God, I thought I was cheap, but dude, you're taking the cake here, bro.
Yeah.
Are you going to go buy yourself a gelato ice cream or what? Or gelato? Oh, my God. You know, not sharing it with your girlfriend? Jeez. Yeah, man. Yeah. All right. No. I got you. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's actually been good. I mean, I kind of like that process, and then I'm still kind of in there. Cool. And I'll, you know, try to make it if I like the stock and, you know, hey, just it's a good stock. It's like a, maybe like a Duke or something, you know, like a steady Eddie, as we call them. Right. And
I keep looking back at there. Duke right now. So
I know it's looking starting to look juicy.
It is. Yes. Type in DUK. And
DUK
then
is the ticker. It's trading at 79.71 right now, but it is like, honestly, if it comes up on a reverse, if it starts to reverse itself coming maybe over this next week, it looks like if we're looking, because we look at it on a weekly, a daily, and a monthly basis. So, yeah. And I'm looking at, it's in kind of a buy zone for, and it, we do have some reversal in the daily, but the weekly, if I'm drawing some, like what we call flags, it's flagging very well. Probably do a little bit of a Fibonacci on that. But it looks really, it looks like a almost perfect setup coming through if it stays on course. So yeah. It could even drop a little bit more and find some, what we call back support. And if it finds that back support and gives us some good reverse, I believe with it, that's a definite like 100%. It's an expensive stock, but I believe that's going to be a pretty good, it'd be a good little run for, I would say anywhere from 80 to like $88. So I mean, I think it's good, like a good, like $5 to $8 run.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm thinking if we can get it at $80, you know, we sell out at like 85 to 80.
The perfect situation is it finds some back support at like $78 and it reverses at 78.50, you know, then we go in. I think that would be like the absolute like perfect thing to go in on. But yeah, just like I said, we're just kind of waiting on this one. But again, we should be putting a bit more money into this because it's obviously like, you know, $80 stock as opposed to like, you know, $10-$20 stock. So
yeah,
in order to make some money off it, that eight times every $80 that we're trying to make off of it. So
yeah, that's a good one. I'm trying to think of what else is like in the buy zone right now, but
not a whole lot, at least not really. It's on the watch list. I mean, things are kind of starting to set up a little bit. They're kind of on their first, like kind of like a first bounce, trying to go into another bounce kind of thing and trying to look for the support resistance. And I just don't see a lot right now. I see a lot of things are kind of like on their way down. But you know, that's just what we have on the watch list right now. Probably need to find some other stuff though, you know?
Yeah.
Six Flags looks like it's making a nice run kind of going up, so that looks pretty exciting. That's another one that I think we might be taking some cream off the top if that goes into a sell zone, which I think it will hopefully over the next couple of weeks. If it touches up on a sell zone, that taking some of those winnings off of that will be kind of nice, you know. So we're up, I think I'm personally up about $300-$400 on that particular stock right now.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. So, you know, maybe I can buy some pour over coffees. I don't know. I need some stone work on my, I can buy some tile.
Yeah. I'm up, I put in 500. I'm up 400.
Where are you going to do that at? Yeah. But let's just, you know, you're not going to do that all the time. I mean, that's just because of the COVID. I mean, you know, when we're kind of back playing the real game, you know, as I say, it's more, you know, having these kind of runs that we've had. I mean, it's kind of like, well, that's going to run out, you know, and we're going to be back to like, you know, making like, you know, $3 to $9, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you know, tripling our money on things here, you know. Only problem seems to be that I just don't have enough money to make more money because you know what I mean? It's like, well, I wish I would have put in like 10 grand, 20 grand on this thing, you know? So, but we're not there yet. And, but you know, it's all slowly getting there.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun though. I really like it. It's
I think both of us enjoy it and it's been, you know, good. It's just kind of made it a integral part of the week, you know. And you know, like my reasons for doing it, as I've shared already, But I'm a firm believer in just, you know, that needs to be like kind of a third of you know, what you got to have your money in to kind of build things, and or at least a really good portion, you know, like stocks, real estate, and, you know, do what the hell you do, whatever that is.
yeah.
So there's only so many hours in the day, right?
Yep. Yeah. Another one. Oh, I'm looking at here. I know you're already in BP, and I think you were before COVID.
Yeah, I was. You know what? That's one that I had probably should have sold a long time ago, but I think I had like an emotional attachment to it.
Okay.
It's kind of like that old, it's like that old Jeep Grand Cherokee I used to have. I just couldn't get rid of it. Yeah. So that was, yeah, that's something I probably should have like sold a long time ago, but you know, it was one of my first stocks I bought. And I don't even know. I should have sold it a while back. I've had an opportunity to sell it probably at least 4 or 5 times, but whatever, it pays. And like, you know, it's down for me at the time when I bought it, because I've had it for so long. So it's pretty down right now for me, but I think it's still a buy. I don't know if it's a buy zone, but it's kind of a long hauler, as we like to say, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and it's doing the Charlie Brown, and right now it's at 21.38, and you know, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't go up to 25.
Yeah, no, I
26.
Think it's still a good buy. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know? I think it's a lot of that stuff. You know, just don't have as many people out in the streets right now. You can kind of gauge that by the traffic in LA.
Yeah.
I'm all the 405. Oh, the parking lot.
Yeah.
I start putting meters on that thing pretty soon. Jesus. Everybody's dissipating from the cities right now. It's called white flight, man. Everybody's out.
Yep.
It's like the moving companies can't even keep up from where they call it. They're starting to call us Commie California now. It's like the Democrats have been in for 10 years. This hasn't really worked out too well, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to find out something else maybe that we're in, that maybe you could share some. APTS, we're kind of waiting for that one to try to get rid of that if we can, right? That's kind of like,
yeah, let's see. Thing. We got in at that, I think around $7.80 is what my little flag.
Yeah, we're
here
down on that. And that's just something, a real estate, which I just kind of not a really a firm believer in at this point. Cause you know, I guess that's a whole nother show for yourself, is right. but yeah, that's looks like it's going to just kind of kick in the can down the road on that whole thing. I don't really see that whole market, you know, doing all that great over the next year.
I mean, we are getting paid a dividend from it. You know,
right,
so that,
right.
That's nice. But yeah, this is one of those that we bought, and it's basically going sideways. It's bouncing up and down a little bit, but not enough to where we could sell it.
Yeah.
And but in
almost
the meantime,
got there.
Can
we sell it? Can we sell it? No.
Yeah, it got up to like 9.50, and we're like, should we sell it? Let's wait till $10, and then it just fucking.
Yeah, we wanted to try to like, no man, we got to make 10% off this thing. I don't want to get rid of it. And
yeah,
that's probably just like a bad decision. But hey, you live and learn. Like honestly, if it gets up to where we bought it, it's like just check out of it. You know,
we already got the dividends, so we got
my dividend out of it. Like whatever, right? So so that's the other thing too. It's like, you know, sometimes you get a little. We're fairly non-emotional about it, but you know, you get a little attached to certain things.
Yeah.
A little tear in the eye.
Yes.
I'm like, no, we're selling it.
It's like me with Abercrombie and Finch. I'm like,
yeah,
I look at my setup and it's the perfect. I mean, I couldn't have bought it at a better time. You know what I mean? Like it went up and then came down and then boom, and that was the lowest it's gotten.
Well, Steve, I kind of associate you with Abercrombie and Fitch.
And those cute little pink shorts that.
No, not that's in your own program. I don't know about the shorts, but booty shorts. And I don't know. That's all your deal right there, bro. But what I'm saying, no, it's just funny because I didn't want to go in on it because my background is like design and like I'm very used to like a lot of like companies and, you know, I'm really scared of like clothing companies.
Apparel.
Yeah, apparel, because it's like it's so volatile, you know, and I'm like, oh god, no. So when you came with me to Abercrombie and Fitch, I was like, back, Satan, back. <You know? laughs> Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I fornicated. Sorry. Yeah, those are like, that's like Satan to me, you know? Yes. But anyways, I went in on it and it ended up being like a good thing. So there you go. I just sold it actually. And it's actually been pretty good. So, but I do associate you with that.
Okay.
Not good, not bad. Just right in the middle.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. But yeah. But I'm trying to think of anything else that we could any other
when to buy, golden, when to sell, golden nuggets, dividends. I would say valuating your stocks or
looking that up.
You've kind of taken the head on that. So you kind of took some traditional, you know, you kind of taking some traditional routes and kind of combining them with kind of, you know, a little technical trading. And I kind of believe that's been the working formula. You know, it's like, you know, taking that Benjamin, what's that book that everybody reads that I've read? Oh, I forget. Benjamin Graham. Is that what it is? With that book you just read, the intelligent investor,
whoever wrote that, or maybe it was
so you know, just taking a lot of that traditional, you know, good, you know, homegrown, you know, knowledge, you know, old schools, you know, stock stuff, and just combining it, you know, like, hey, adding the, hey, what's this company doing and what they're valued at, you know? And so you've kind of taken the head on that, which has been actually good, you know, because it's just like, it's really just a, what would you call what? Another indicator, right? That's what it is. It's just,
I think so. You know, I just go on macrotrends.net and
yeah,
most of the big companies are in there, you know,
right.
So if you want to look up Coke or whatever, you can. And
yeah.
I find out, I mean, it's got tabs on here that says assets and liabilities, and you click on assets and you add that up in the plus column, and then you click on liabilities and you click on that, how much cash they have on hand. And basically what you're doing is you're trying to figure out what this company's net worth is,
right?
You know, when you take all their assets and you subtract their liabilities, if this company folded tomorrow, what would that company be worth? Then you take that
and
then you take that amount and you divide it by how many shares they got, and that should give you about what each share should be worth.
Really?
You know?
Yeah,
now, exactly. If you do that number and you find out that each share should be worth $2, but the thing is trading at 2,000 like Tesla is, it's probably a little overvalued. You know,
and, I'm like, yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, the last time I did Tesla, they were valued at $14 a share. But, you know, like you said, they're trading at 2K.
That's just
a huge belief in, I think, Elon Musk. And
it's true.
I mean,
it's true.
He could get hit by a car tomorrow, and then what the hell is that going to do to your stock price? You know what I mean?
That's a really good point. You know, you go smoke some weed and the stock goes down. You know what I mean?
Right. He sends out some random tweet that pisses people off and like, I don't know. That's just a company that I will never touch again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just what I consider just like, you know, play money. You know, you made some money and like, hey, you just want to put your money and, you know, you put it in a, you know, you're kind of gambling, right? That's kind of like a growth stock, right? Growth stocks, you know what I mean? That's the other actually good point, something that I had actually learned, and I don't know the whole weight to it, just because I'm not an accountant, it was explained to me that growth stocks, I'm not saying all companies do this, but they have to look good because they're growing, right? You know, and sometimes when you find companies with kind of fidgeting around with the accounting, you know, big companies that, because they got to keep getting money so they can grow and grow and grow, right? So from their investors. So they can mess with the accounting more. There's with the growth stocks as opposed, and I don't know, so don't quote me, please, but I haven't completely researched, so this isn't bulletproof. So this is just something that I was actually told, and I did a little bit of research on it, but I just haven't, you know, it's not definitive.
Yeah.
So, but with dividend stocks, since there's a direct, since you have an accountability to with the dividends to your shareholders, that there's less messing around with, not to say that they probably couldn't, but there's not as much room to overvalue things or do any funny accounting because they have to pay the dividends. So it's just kind of a nice comforting feel, you know, that,
yeah, a little security, you know, blanket.
Yeah, it's just, you know, just a little bit more, which is kind of nice, just to kind of like, you know, they're not kind of messing. And usually the companies that do pay dividends, right, they're generally speaking, there's all like really good companies, you know, generally do pay a dividend. Not all of them are good, you know, obviously there's, you know, a lot of Russian oil stocks out there as well, you know. Yeah. I've been paid on those have worked out really well for me personally, but could they do some funny accounting? I'm sure they could.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do a lot in Russia.
Yeah.
So but yeah, so you know it's comforting, I think, and it just, you know, it just helps the dividend cause, because I've always been conflicted about, you know, because there's a lot of people who don't advocate, you know, for, you know, doing any kind of dividend investings, and, you know, so there's people who are like no, and then, you know, the people who just do growth stocks, and, you know, but it's wherever your comfort level it is, you need to decide, like, what kind of, are you super risky guy, you know, who wants to sit there all day and day trade and put stop losses on stuff and get all pissed off and be bipolar? I'm like, yo, that's not me.
Yeah.
<know?
laughs> Yeah.
You know, I like to just chill out, set it up, plug it in, I'll check it out in a month, you know. you know, check out of it later. And I think what we've been doing is called swing trading. And it's just like kind of a longer, it's like a long day trade, basically, you know, for, you know, weeks or months, you know. I just find, you know, you're not staring at stuff. We did that with what was the other trading that we were doing when we first learned
day trading.
Yeah, no, it was the day trading with options, right? Which is great. That's awesome. But like, that's like a retirement job. You know what I mean? Like,
you gotta be at your computer at, you know, 6 a.m. when the market opens.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, 6:30 a.m. in Pacific time when the market opens. And then you gotta be watching it.
Yeah.
It's Chinese water torture. Staring at your screen and watching the price go up and down of,
and your blood pressure.
A couple of stocks, and you're buying and then selling within about 45 minutes. You know?
Yeah. How do we say it in Spanish? Demasiado. Yes. Too much.
You're the one with the Garcia last name. You should be.
Yeah. That. Well, you know, I got my cousins probably cutting your grass out there with the leaf blower.
Yeah. You heard the leaf blower in the background, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell my cousin.
You call your cousin to tell him to stop.
Yeah. I'll text him on his Apple phone. I'm like, yeah. Just tell him it's Daniel Garcia. He's like, which one? Yeah. I got three cousins and a sister named that.
I was like, when I made you the beans, I'm like, oh, I made you some beans. You're like, that's the most racist fucking thing anyone's ever done for me. I'm like, well, you're Mexican. You like beans, right?
I was totally messing with you.
Yeah, I do. And I'm like, well, there you go. What are you yelling at me for? Like, you like them.
Like if I was a black man and I showed up to your house and you just automatically gave me watermelon or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, thanks for the beans, bro.
Yeah.
Thanks. The musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. Yeah, dude, I get it.
You like watermelon, right? How could you not like watermelon?
Yeah,
like
everybody watermelon. Likes watermelon. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but then I got you. But hey, I got you on the real deal making those beans, bro.
Oh, you did. Yes.
Yeah. You got to put the jamon in there, bro.
Yes. Yes.
You got to put that bacon.
Yes.
Put that piece of bacon in that bean, you know.
Man, that was the secret ingredient I was
game
missing,
changer,
you know? Yeah,
game changer bean maker. But yes. I don't make beans personally, but you obviously do.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I just made a big old pot you were here last night, you saw the pot I made.
Yeah,
I should have given you some. That was fucking racist of me not to.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I had a Mexican in my house.
Taken it
I just
to my
had
goddamn
a shit
protesting.
Ton of beans and I didn't even give him.
Yeah, shit. I could have some energy for my protesting.
Yeah.
Totally kidding. We're not going to go there. So you've become a very good bean maker. Yeah,
I soak them for over a day.
That's how you get all the farts out of it.
The lectins. The lectins. That's how you get those lectins out of there.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Soak them for a day and then strain off the water about every 4 to 6 hours.
Pro tip.
Pro tip. Yeah. Half an onion diced, a whole clove of
garlic.
Like a whole garlic, you know, there's a bunch of cloves in there. Put all those in, cumin, salt, pepper, and then about half to a pound of bacon.
That bacon is the magical ingredient.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, it takes the beans from a taste of like a 7 to like a 9.5. Just right there.
Yeah. Tipping on a 10. They're tipping on a 10.
Yeah. So pro tip.
So
you heard it here makes first. It,
yeah, first from White Boy Steve.
Yes.
Making his beans.
Making my beans.
Do you refry those by chance?
I've never done that. No, I probably should.
You know, with like a piece of like what they call manteca.
Manteca.
The lard.
A little bit of lard like in
that,
there.
Yeah, that with that white cube that they sell at the Mexican market.
Take like a perfectly healthy meal and just fucking destroy it with
that. Get that cholesterol up there in about 2.2.
Yeah.
Not gonna say it's not gonna taste good, but it's next level bean. So
yes.
Yeah, we don't go there. Yeah. So yeah. I get it. And you do that also the same thing with your potatoes, right? Get all the starches out of it.
Yeah, I do. I cook the potatoes first and then put them in the fridge. And I heard this on a podcast with Joe Rogan. There was a guy.
Yeah, I do that myself.
You do the same thing. It makes the potatoes taste better, I think. You know, they're not like real like I don't know. There's something about when you cook a potato and then cool it off, it chemically changes from
It's like a yam sticking. It's like sticking a yam in the oven.
You know, it changes from a simple carbohydrate to a complex carbohydrate.
Exactly.
Simple carbohydrates are like sugar and starches, and they make you fat.
Yep.
Complex carbohydrates are like broccoli and spinach. They make you skinny. Well, you can turn that potato into something that's essentially bad for you into something that's good for you.
Absolutely.
Simply by cooking it, cooling it down, chemically changing it, and then now when you eat it, you don't have to eat it cold. You can
warm it up. Don't forget, you got to keep it in the fridge. You know, keep it in the fridge for like 24 hours or something. You know, just keep it in there, and then it changes it, and you can eat potatoes and not be a fat ass. So there you go.
There you go.
Bob's your uncle.
Yep. Another pro tip.
Pro tip potatoes for the day. Yeah. All right. Cool. So I'm sure your listeners aren't too excited about potatoes. They're probably more interested in making money. So, but yeah, anything. I don't know. Hey, so got a lot of good nutritional advice on here as well. So
yes.
anything else you want to talk about as far as like stocks or like as far as anything that we've done or buy, sell?
Let's see. I kind of wanted to throw out a couple that maybe the listeners, if they want to test the waters here, maybe British Petroleum.
BP. Well, they're not going to make any money fast on that. I mean, BP, let me pull out the trading right now for 21.38, pretty darn low, but looks like it's found some support at the bottom. It's definitely in the buy, but it's like, it just has no, I'm looking at dailies, weeklies, monthlies, drawing some flags. I mean, I'm not in love with it, Steve, to be totally
honest. Okay.
All right. Yeah. I mean, we'll it's kind of like, kind of like have to be drunk. Then she starts looking pretty. I'm like, that 6 is looking like an 8 right now. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Let's get there.
What do you think Wells Fargo right now? Now, I know we're in for 2 bets at about 50 cents more than it's trading right now. But what do you think of the graph when you look at the weekly and the daily here on Wells
What's
Fargo?
What's the ticker on that? Is it
WFC.
Okay, 2469. I see a solid what I'm looking at right now, it's well below the 200 day moving average, so you know that, but then again, you know, most things are right now. It's in a buy zone, I feel.
Okay.
Not that I feel, I see that. Get our feelings out of this
low rate. Monthly still, low weekly
very
still.
Low, very low, stochastically very low. It's making a run into the in a daily, but it's not a picture perfect setup. I mean, I just feel like, you know,
this is one they're going to buy and they're not going to touch it for probably 6 months.
Yeah, you just, you know, it's
but you'll get a 4% dividend or whatever it is on it in the
yeah
meantime.
I mean it, hey, look, it's not a bad thing, but hey, look, it could start creeping up to, I mean, it's gone to 30-35 in the past, over this last year, you know, when it hit its rock bottom at around 21.
Yeah,
and it's gotten up to about $34, so you know, that's a good little zone right there. So you know, hey, you can make some, you can make a few bucks on it, but like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and like guarantee somebody's going to make like, you know, $5 on per share on this thing, you know. It's just gonna take, it might take a while, you know, it might go sideways for a while, you know.
Yeah.
Just depending. I'd feel better about putting things in something like, you know, like a Duke Energy, a utility, you know, right now, than a bank if I wanted to make money faster.
Yeah.
But again, it's not a bad, I don't think it's not a bad position to take if you're just kind of wanting to put something somewhere, you know. So banks aren't in the market to lose, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When's the last bank, you know, big bank, I should say, that, you know, went bad. So it doesn't happen very often. Actually we're in BBGI right now. That's another one. Very low. We tried to hit that one because we it reversed itself, but then it went lower. So, but you know, that's the chance that you take. But it's still in a position to get some back support. So that's still looking really, really good. It's very, very low in the STO right now, stochastic, as we say.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more of a riskier kind of thing.
This one's pretty damn volatile. Yeah.
It's we've been in and out of this, but again, this is actually something that we're comfortable with. It dropped, but I'm like okay with it. Like I'm like, yo, I already know it'll come, you know, it'll come, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't know when, but this would be something a little bit, you know, riskier, you know. But you know, if, I think for your listeners out there, you know, just like, you know, anybody like beginning, you know, just stick with this steady Eddie stuff, you know. It's like, it's easy, you know, get your money, get your bankroll built up, and then you can start making more educated, you know, decisions about your positions. And, you know, but getting comfortable, I think, because like I said, they all kind of have their own personalities, and you kind of start getting used to them. They're kind of like these little friends of yours, right?
Yeah, they're each one of them's like a little like, child, oh, or like a nephew, like, or something, you know.
Oh, baby BGI, you know. yeah, they just have their own, they start, you know, taking on these little lives, you know, and you just kind of get used to them, like, oh yeah I know that one, and you know, and you can get an idea, and it's just a comforting fact. And because, you know, you're putting real money somewhere, you know, and it's like, you need to be comfortable with that, you know. So
yeah.
And that takes time. Like now I just kind of like, yeah, I don't even care, here you go BBJ, take my cash, you know what
yeah.
I mean. Yeah. I know you'll come back for me. I know you'll pick me up. You're not gonna leave me in the hotel room naked.
Tied up to the bed with the key just out of reach.
Yeah, with the key just out of reach with that bite ball. I gotcha, BBGI. I know you're coming.
Oh God.
Hopefully nobody walks in while you're gone.
Yeah, exactly. Then after 17 hours, you're hoping the maid walks in.
Yeah. Please clean my room.
Damn it. Why did I put the do not disturb on the door?
Yeah. Damn it. I knew I should have. I was a contender. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Yeah. Oh yeah. So yeah, now these are yeah, like I said, you know, it depends what your appetite for risk is, right? You know, but yeah. But I think it's really good, you know, just, you know, kind of with everything that's been going on, having that, you know, a percentage of the bankroll is super important, you know, the $100,000, you know, $5,000, you know, 5%, those should be your positions. That's kind of the calculation, right? 50 grand, you know, like, you know, $2,500 positions, you know.
So, I think so. I think 5% of bet is pretty good.
And that's been really
good. And this
good.
Should
that's
be money that you are not afraid to lose. Just like when you go to the poker table and you sit down at a cash game and you buy in for 500 or a grand or whatever you buy in for, you know, it just accept that any one of these companies could go fucking bankrupt and you're gone. You know,
yeah. Well,
so
that's
this,
why
this is
you need
extra spending. You're not doing this with your mortgage money. You know what I mean?
Right. You're like, honey, I'm just gonna put our mortgage payment into this stock this month.
Yeah,
yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that at all.
Just,
same bankroll management stuff we do with poker, we do with this.
Yeah, I know it sounds basic, but you know, there's a lot of people who get excited about things and they'll just do things.
Yeah,
you
or
know?
They'll just fire 21 grand on three bets and then they're done.
Yeah, take it from your friend Steve, friend of Steve's. That just to put his whole deal on something. Yeah, just don't do that. You know?
I should have given him the bankroll speech before.
Yeah, you probably should. And the disclaimer. Don't forget, you got to give.
Yeah,
all
you got to throw in the disclaimer.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, they'll start doing the blame game. You know.
Yeah.
So never happened to me before, but you know, I'm just trying to have that not happen. Contingency planning, as we call that. Have a plan and a plan for that plan is what I say. But yeah, so I think even with 20 grand, I think if you have 20 grand, then what is that's $1,000?
About a grand,
you know, that's safe. The kind of calculation, you know, 5%, you know, 5% in your positions, you know, but other things go into that too, you know, obviously how much the stock is and, you know, like how much you're actually going to be able to make out of that, you know, so if the stock's under $10, obviously you're going to be making a lot more than if the stock's, you know, $50. So, you know, when it moves. So, yeah. So those are all things to take into consideration, I think. But, yeah. Any other stocks you want to look at or?
Yeah, I think I like what you're saying about Duke. I think we need to watch that one coming next week. So we're recording this on Sunday. So the markets are only open Monday through Friday. And it seems like they're like teachers. They hardly ever work. It seems like every other Friday they have a day off or something. So it's Monday through Friday.
Well, that Friday. And there's another thing. We don't like to buy or really sell on Fridays. So that's kind of something
Yeah. Mondays seem to be like, you know, it seems like it progressively gets more action like as the week progresses. It's almost like people that have lost money during the week, they're trying to make it up on Friday or something. It's strange because it's like volatile. On Fridays, it's so volatile compared to the other days.
It can be. You don't know, but we were taught that and it's something that's been holding very true. And I actually like that. I don't generally trade on Fridays unless I'm going to, and then something just volatile and crazy will happen and it'll just spike up. And then I'm like, well, hey, let's just get ready to pull the trigger on that and just sell it, but never buy stuff really on Fridays because, you know, we watch things on a weekly basis. And so we're waiting for those things to reverse at the end of the week. You know, we don't usually know till basically Monday, I guess, you know, or after things close, I guess on Friday. Then we can grab another indicator on how things are going to be. But yeah, definitely don't buy things on Fridays. I think that's some good advice. I think I've learned and I've kind of stuck to that. And not unless it's something that's just like, I don't know what the case would be, trying to make a case for it for buy, but definitely to sell something on Friday, because if something gets volatile and just shoots up, like an example, that BBGI stock, it shot up from like, you know, like $2.50 to like $6 is probably on a Friday, you know, when that happened. And you know, but you can get lucky on that and, you know, sell some stuff, but generally speaking, don't really do much on Fridays at all. So that cuts down to your time on things as well. So I think people who like look at the Friday, I just almost eliminate it for the most part, right? I mean,
I do too, except like this last Friday we sold Coke and that was great. It went up over 3% just in
one day.
That
was a good little example. Like, it made a little run on a Friday. Maybe it shouldn't have done that on Friday. I don't know, but it did, right?
Yeah.
It just kind of got rid of it and we're in there and out of it. And so those are like these good things about Fridays. The bad about Friday is it can go the other way just as much as it can go up, it can go down, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably the other piece of advice.
Yeah.
So I don't know any other little nuggets of information, you know, that maybe could share, you know, international stocks, as far as, like I said, I think we've kind of went through that, but they do charge fees on those. I noticed like Vanguard, Ameritrade and stuff, you know, for they do, but it's pretty minimal. It's like 50 cents or something. So but what they call ADRs, those are the international stocks, emerging market stuff. But but they charge, I guess, because they are international, I've noticed. But it's a very minimal fee. And I think it's a great time now since I think, what was it, last year when they started the no fee thing? That's been really good too.
Oh, that's been amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I don't even know why anybody made such a great time now, especially for people that you know, don't have, haven't invested before. It's like, dude, you got it so good now. Cause before I was in Vanguard, they used to do like $7 a trade. And then like, okay. Well,
and now, then after 25 trades, now it's $20 a trade or something. Yeah, ridiculous. And I mean, that just completely cut into our profit.
You know? Yeah. And then it's like, well, and then if you're just starting out, I think it makes it a little harder as well, because then you're like, okay, well, you know, I started with my, you know, my $500, $600, you know, $1,000 or whatever, you know, someone's starting out and, you know, you're getting all beat up because of the fees, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. And then after like, what is it, like 10, 15 trades or something, then they charge you $20, you
it
know?
It was 25 like, trades after 25 trades, which yeah. we hit in like July.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then it's like, and then we're like, well, I don't want to sell that because I don't want to get hit with that, that, you know what I mean? So it would be like another thing to kind of deal with, but that's all been eliminated. I don't know what the true reasoning for the whole thing is to bring in more people. I don't know, but you know, it's been really good not having to even think about that. You know what I mean? So that's been, you know, cause like I said, you know, it doesn't really make a difference, you know, on like now it wouldn't make a difference. But I think in the beginning, when people are really just kind of starting out and doing things, it's like, you know, it's like you're hitting the little guy, you know what I mean? Cause if you, what was it in Vanguard? I think it was if you have over the Admiral account or whatever it was, then all your trades are like always stay at like $4 or $5 or something. You get so many free trades, or I don't know what it was, but it was a lot better and just didn't make it very good for the little guy out there. You know what I mean? Just trying to get things started and get his roll going, you know? So you're getting all beat up and then taking your 15%. If you cashed, you know, you got to pay taxes on that. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, my $100 just turned into like 20.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, like I said, now I, even if they were, it wouldn't make that much of a difference now because we're making more money, right? So but in the beginning it hurts, you know, and it's like, so yeah,
because we're doing small bets, so
we're trying to make
$20 and then to sell it's $40 for every single trade, but our total profit that we're going for, I think we're doing like 1k bets at the time, so we're our goal was to get 100. Well, now instead of getting 100 you get 60.
And then we're like, oh well, maybe we'll just because you get your 20 again. I think with Vanguard it started again, and like I think you called them actually, and you're like, hey, does this like reset in January? And they're like, yeah. And we're like, well, maybe we should wait till January to sell some of these things, you know what
I mean? Yeah, it was like, there's so a good time to element. sell, but we're gonna get hit on every single one of these, you know?
Yeah, look, it's not a ton of money, but hey, it's still money, and it's like, you know,
it
like
adds up.
Yeah. It adds up if you're trading a lot, it does. It starts to add up, you know.
And there is
it's a TV at the end of the year, you know.
There's another thing I've noticed too is if there's not a whole lot of volume on some of these stocks,
right? Yeah,
there was one that I was going to buy. It was around $5 a stock, and then when I typed
you couldn't
do it. You know, I typed in I don't remember how many shares, but like 200 shares or something, and I was like. Yeah. Well, why is it charging me 2,000 instead of 1,000? And then that's when I realized there's not much volume with this. So Vanguard must have to charge a fee for it so that they can make anything. And it drove the price from $5 up to 10. So luckily I didn't hit enter or I would have been in on a $5 stock, but paying $10 for each one.
Oh, that's
and,
fun.
Great deal. Right. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. And so I called them on it, and they're like, yeah, this is a obscure stock, you know, here. So if you want to buy this one, we got to charge you basically double of what it costs. And I'm like, oh, well, fuck that.
You're like, and what's the point of me even buying it?
Yeah, like, you know? Who the hell would buy this? This is retarded.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the volume, they're not pushing enough volume. So, yeah, that's something to take into consideration as well with, like, especially when you're searching around for stuff, you know, you want to see how much volume, you know, they're pushing around as well. So,
yeah, that and can definitely really pay attention to those fees, you know, just like in the example I gave, they could
it's
not like there's going to be a big red flag that comes up and says, hey, wait, this is a terrible deal. Make sure that when you click it in, you're getting it for the price that it's actually trading at right then.
And I think that they've done a really good job with all like the online stuff as far as like plugging everything in and kind of like being able to, like, you know, get through it. It's pretty seamless, the process, once you do it a few times and you get comfortable with it, you know. It's been, you know, it's pretty, I mean, each one of the platforms Forbes works a little, TD Ameritrade or Fidelity, Vanguard. I mean, they all work a little bit different, but I found that they're on their support. Like, you could just call them and they're really good about it and they're very helpful. And I've been pretty impressed with a few of the brokerage firms, or, you know, that that when you call, like, you know, all the questions, you know, they're just really good about it. A lot better than I would think, I guess, originally.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So that's been really good, actually. I've had to call Vanguard on numerous occasions, and they've always walked me through things, or I said, you know, I didn't understand something, and they're like, no, and they explained it. So but yeah, they just have a good, I think a lot of the things now, they have a lot of good support, you know, for people trying to start out, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
I do too.
Yeah. So
cool. Well, thank you. Thank you, Danny. This was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me. And I can take myself out to a coffee now with the money you bribed me with. So I appreciate
right on.
It.
Cool.
So good. I even got dressed for this thing, put some lipstick on the pig, and I was good to go this morning. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. You look just wonderful.
Yeah. Look all purdy. Yeah. Squeal like a pig, boy. okay, so yeah, don't want to be too candid out there. So yeah, we're all good. Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it. Thank you for all of you listeners. Hopefully didn't babble on too crazy and weird, learned a few things, and you know, that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you, Danny, and thank you for tuning in. Here is your weekly motivational speech.
You're broke, welcome to the club. You're scared, welcome to the club. You're not sure? Welcome to the club. There is nothing, I mean literally nothing, you are facing right now that the great ones didn't face before. It ain't just you dealing with it. Everybody got to deal with insecurities. Everybody got to deal with fear.
And you might have to say, I'm going to get through this over and over and over until you believe it.
The great ones fight through. Everyone has challenges and setbacks. That's a part of the journey. Can you please do you a favor and get out of your head?
You're still wishing and you're still hoping for it. You're still planning. Like, you've been planning this for 5 years. Get out of your own head.
Because once you taste that success, I want you to keep eating. Once you get success on your lips, I want you to keep drinking. Once you understand the keys of success, it's not the end, it is only the beginning. Because you understand, once you get that breakthrough, you finally understand what you're capable of.
Purpose is bigger than the pain, and the promise is bigger than the process. And I know it's hard right now, and I know you feel like quitting, but you gotta understand, there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Stop lying to yourself and telling yourself that you have time. See, the greatest lie that you have believed far too long is that you have time. You have time, that there is a tomorrow, that you can drag your feet and you can crawl. Sometimes you gotta run. You can't crawl towards some dreams. You can't walk towards some dreams. Some dreams you gotta run towards. You gotta run, baby. Run, 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 run after it. Run like there's no tomorrow. Run like you know you deserve it. Run like you know that there is nobody else that can attain it. Run after it.